A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 151. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Outcasts. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Outcasts was a BBC TV series from 2011. It ran for a total of 8 episodes, about 60 minutes each, and it was a drama about colonists from Earth struggling to survive on a new and rather distant planet.
That's right. An interesting show from the BBC. The BBC trying to do what we might call sort of hardish science fiction. Pretty big budget, which we'll talk about. And lots of sort of story ideas and story threads going on. Maybe perhaps too many, as we'll get to eventually. But an interesting show.
Yes. So the setup for this... There has been an ecological disaster on Earth, and a number of enormous colony ships have been set up to go to this new planet, which is called Carpathia. And it takes something like 15 years for colony ships to travel out to this new planet. And the planet Carpathia was named after the first ship that reached the Titanic when it crashed in 1912. So we have this container city that's called Fort Haven, and it becomes the focus of things on this planet Carpathia.
Yes, that's right. Fort Haven, made up, as you say, Brian, of old sort of shipping containers, so it's got that look to it. And we've got the city leaders struggling with the task of trying to ensure the survival of the colony and the security of it, and I suppose the future of the colony. And it's quite a tricky task. There's lots of sort of politics, there's lots of sort of action adventure plots going on. We know that in the first episode they're waiting for what's supposed to be the very last transport from Earth to arrive. So there's the sort of anxiety of waiting for new arrivals. But meanwhile, outside the city walls, there's other forces at play who may have some say in the colonists' future and whether this city will survive. It's quite a sort of perilous state for the future of the human race, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And you really do have the feel of this being a small and very isolated pocket of humanity that is very far from everyone else in terms of communication and transportation and so on. So the characters, we have to start out, of course, with the leader, President Richard Tate, played by Liam Cunningham, who is the calm and wise leader of this settlement on Carpathia. And he fits this sort of ideal, but with the wrinkle that he has made some questionable decisions in the past, and we sort of gradually learn that there's something a little bit dark about his past and things he may have done, and we learn things about how he's dealing with those things now.
That's right, yes. There's some of the hints as the story develops over the episodes will tell us that not all the characters have got straightforward pasts. And yeah, there is something dodgy in the past of President Tate.
Also in the group of leaders with this colony is Dr. Stella Eisen, played by Hermione Norris. She is a neuroscientist who is now in charge of the city's Protection and Security Force, or PASS. And she helps give you the idea that people can't necessarily just do one job. They have to sort of stretch to do whatever is needed. So she's very much a scientist, but is forced to be the security person as well, because someone has to do that.
That's right. An interesting conflict for her. And Hermione Norris, well known to us, I suppose, for her appearance in Spooks, which I believe was called MI5 across the pond, Brian.
Yes, it was in the US. That's right.
And as you say, she runs the Protection and Security Force, the PAS Force, and we've got two of their officers who will be our sort of way into the story. They're more likable, ordinary characters with their own flaws and past histories that we'll discover. So they are Fleur Morgan, played by Amy Manson, and Cass Cromwell, played by Daniel Mays. And as I say, they're sort of the more, I suppose, working class, ordinary citizens of Fort Haven. And we'll see a lot of the story through their eyes. And they'll often get sent out on various missions by Tate or Dr. Eisen.
Yes. And as they discover things about what has happened in the past on Carpathia and what may be happening now, we're discovering it too. So we do see some things through their perspective, for sure. Amy Manson, I remember from her appearance on some episodes of the BBC Being Human series.
Right, okay. Again, another member of the team, we have Expeditionary Force, or XP Force leader Jack Holt, played by the actor and rapper Ashley Walters. And he and his team are responsible for exploration outside the city of Fort Haven and exploring what may be a hospitable world or may be a dangerous world on Carpathia.
Yes, and he's sort of a character who is not always likable, and, you know, one wonders if he should be, you know, someone who has this level of responsibility. But again, it's this thing where there are so few people to do all of the things that are necessary that you do end up with people in those sorts of positions, which is one of the things that makes this show sort of interesting in some ways. We also have Rudy, played by Langley Kirkwood, who is the leader of a tribe of outsiders known as the ACs, or Advanced Cultivars. They are genetically enhanced, or genetically engineered, perhaps, colonists who are not part of the main colony and are living somewhere out in the outside. And there are some interesting sort of political things and interesting dynamics that develop with them.
Yes, the ACs are interesting. I mean, we get the impression they were some sort of preliminary colonization force, but that somehow or other they have become separate from the colony. And in fact, as we'll discover, you know, at times quite opposed to the colony. So interesting stuff there. And one other character that we'll mention who turns up right at the end of the first episode, Julius Berger, played by the Ugly Betty actor Eric Mabius. And he is the, or was the, vice president of the Earth Evacuation Plan. He's a late arrival on Carpathia, but no sooner has he arrived than he actually becomes a very powerful player. He's a real political animal. He is also a spiritual leader, and his sort of manipulations behind the scenes as his rise to power on Carpathia will take up some of the storylines through these eight episodes.
Yes, he is very much someone who is playing the political games for his own advantage, and that actually makes for some interesting storylines and some interesting character conflict as he is doing this, and he's sort of the very capable politician and manipulator.
People behaved with courage and dignity.
It has been suggested you be given a place on General Council.
That is an honor. In what capacity?
Currently without portfolio. I have a power of veto over the proposal.
Will you exercise it?
We are in a secular society, Julius. Your prayer during the whiteout was inappropriate. But I'm pleased that we will be alongside each other.
Okay, so we've mentioned these eight episodes. 60 minutes long. Each episode is standalone. It has its own self-contained story. But as we've hinted at already, you've got these ongoing themes which will develop over the series and hints to other sort of storylines and so on. So, for instance, as we've mentioned already, we've got the ACs who were some sort of specially genetically enhanced colonists to survive on this brave new world of Carpathia. But they've become sort of exiled from Fort Haven. They are vigorously opposed to some elements of Fort Haven. And in particular, they don't get on with Professor Tate at all. There's no love lost between those two at all, between Rudy, the leader of the ACs, and Richard Tate. There's quite a lot of conflict and quite a lot of history there, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And you get, you know, these various levels of conflict going on, which adds something there. We also hear about the history of the colonization and exploration of Carpathia in how when they first landed, it was a very inhospitable place and in many ways still is. And they were learning to deal with this situation and what kinds of things did they do at the time. And maybe some of that history, maybe there were some things that were done that were not the best things to do, that were done in desperation, and maybe there were crimes committed and so on. So there is sort of exploration and learning about the past and what has happened there. We also, of course, have Julius Berger, this politician who has just come in on this last colony ship to come. And he has this rise to power over time, and the influence and the connections that he's building over time add sort of multiple political layers to this that you wouldn't have without him. So that sort of sequence of how he is finding his way into favor in various parts of society becomes sort of a very definite plot thread.
Yeah, that's right. He's a rather slimy political animal, isn't he? Who does a lot of sort of stroking and caressing and manipulating behind the scenes to get what he wants.
Oh, yes.
We've also got the other characters' backstories, and we do get this idea over these eight episodes that every one of the main characters has some backstory. We've hinted at Professor Tate and his certain dark decisions he's made in the past. We've got Dr. Stella Eisen, who's gone on ahead of her family and who believes her daughter is on the last colony ship that's due to arrive. But of course, her daughter was a young child when she last saw her, and it's now 15 years later. We've got Cass Cromwell with hints about something, again, rather dark in his past. So we do get this idea. There's a lot of backstory hidden below the main sort of action adventure in each individual episode.
Yes, everyone has something to hide, and that's something that you get into over the course of it. And not only do the characters have something to hide, it seems that the planet itself also has something to hide. There may be some secrets about what was already on the planet when they arrived and what still may be there. And how will that affect the colonists, and what kind of interactions could there be with the planet itself and things that are already there? So that is something that, again, is this developing plot thread that gradually becomes more and more prominent.
Yeah, absolutely. Carpathia itself has got some secrets to hide. It's perhaps not the straightforward Earth-like uninhabited planet that the colonists believe it is.
That's right. So we should get into our production notes for this. Outcasts was created by the writer Ben Richards, who had previously worked on Spooks, which, as we mentioned, was MI5 in the US, and also worked on a political drama called Party Animals.
That's right. Party Animals, one of the breakout roles for the young Matt Smith, who goes on to play Doctor Who, of course. Haven't seen it myself, but I gather he's in that. And Ben Richards wanted, as he said himself, he wanted to explore the idea of second chances and, in his words, most fundamentally, whether humanity is genetically hardwired to make the same mistakes again and again. So he came up with this idea of a story set on a sort of rescue planet Earth after some disaster. And he was commissioned to make this show by the production company Kudos, who, interestingly enough, also made Spooks, MI5, but also made the very well-regarded and possibly genre-type shows Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And in fact, many of the crew we've got here had also worked on those same shows. So in particular, we've got multiple directors, Bharat Naluri, Omar Madar, Andy Goddard and Jamie Payne, who I think most of them have also directed episodes of the new Doctor Who or Torchwood or both.
Right. And we had episodes written by Ben Richards himself and also Simon Block, Jack Lothian, Jimmy Gardner, and David Farr. For the production on this, they actually went to South Africa to film the sort of otherworldly and very hostile environment, outdoor wilderness of Carpathia, which is quite barren and was quite effective.
Yes, it's interesting. They found a particular wilderness which looks very bright and bleached. There's an awful lot of light. There's an awful lot of white sand, it seems, Brian. And it does look quite good, actually. And I think they'd actually found a disused container city or a container dump already to sort of use as the basis for Fort Haven.
Oh, okay.
We've got mostly a British cast for a British show, but I think they made deliberate attempts to sort of attract an American audience with a couple of castings. So in the first episode, we have Jamie Bamber from the new Battlestar Galactica. He appears as Mitchell, the XP leader in the first episode. And then, of course, we've got Eric Mabius turning up at the very end of the first episode, well known to American viewers for Ugly Betty. And I think he was one of the sort of big American names that they got for this show. And the budget, we're not really sure about this. It must have been, I think, a fairly large budget outlay for the BBC to take this whole production to South Africa. A fairly big name cast. They, as I said, they found this sort of partly built container city, which they added to. They've got some very good special effects. We've got the colony ships glimpsed in space. We've got the extra moons hanging in the sky of this rather sort of bright Carpathian landscape. And plus we've got the usual sort of explosions and bangs and crashes. So quite, you know, the special effects are good, Brian. I suspect there must have been a fair outlay for the BBC on this one.
I would think so, especially for that big location shoot that was overseas that included a lot of the cast. It wasn't the sort of thing where you see most of the cast on sets and then a few of them you see outdoors on the location. They had a lot of them there on location, and it was an overseas location. So that was something I would think would have been a fairly expensive shoot, but it was one that got them a lot. It was quite effective.
Okay.
It was broadcast on BBC One and BBC HD starting on Tuesday, February 7th, 2011 at 9 p.m. It was also shown in Australia, in Canada on Space the Imagination Station, and in the US on BBC America. So it was distributed and got a good set of broadcasts when it came out in 2011.
Okay. And that 9 o'clock Tuesday evening slot, we'll talk about that in the next episode, but a sort of a fairly prime slot to begin with. And availability of this series outcasts. In Region 2 here, we have a DVD and a Blu-ray. The DVD set currently going for just under £8 on Amazon. Obviously includes the 8 episodes, but also a making-of documentary and a set tour of the container city of Fort Haven. Also over here in the UK, it's available on Love Film and Netflix UK. And you can get it on iTunes for £15 or for £1.80 for a single episode if you want to just check out the first episode and see what you think.
in Region 1 here in North America. It is available as a Region 1 DVD for about $25, $26 on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. It is also available in the U.S. on Amazon Instant as downloads for about $2 an episode or $13 for the whole set. And it's available on Blu-ray as well in Region A. And it is also on Netflix in the US and Canada. So it's quite widely available.
Yes, one of the more available shows we've watched recently, Brian. And we presume that the Region 1 DVD has the same extras. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't, but it doesn't actually specify on the Amazon pages, does it?
Yes, I think that's right. I actually watched it on Netflix, so I'm not entirely sure. But this was a recent show that was distributed internationally quite widely, so it gets some pretty good releases, which is nice.
Okay, so join us next time. We'll talk a little bit about some of the science in Outcasts, and we'll get into a few more of these hints about the planet Carpathia itself.
We will also talk about the reaction to the show and why it did not get a second series. We will also talk about some of our own thoughts and our reviews and recommendations.
So, yes, lots to talk about when you come back. And as ever, if you know anything more about this show or you want to get in with your own reviews, do email us or contact us.
Absolutely. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us on TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there.
And you'll also find us on the Voice of Geeks streaming internet radio at vognetwork.com. And you may find us in the chat rooms there when we're being broadcast on Monday or Tuesday nights. Do drop by and say hello.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England also signing off.